Life in the city has its share of strange and dangerous things. But at least in more populous areas, there is the expectation of the unusual, and a tolerance of the unorthodox. And acts of aggression or sedition are met with swift resolve in the strange find good company. But the city is not the province of the truly bizarre. The weirdest things brew where people have room to roam, under the cover of solitude, into the nooks and crannies that are tucked down too deeply into the landscape, into areas too secluded for the light of day to shine, or the influence of social norm to affect, or the long arm of the law to reach. This is a place where the expectation of consequence and the fear of retribution are unknown. This is where the schemers hide, the occultists practice, and the psychotic take refuge. This is where the overly curious do weird things, and the eccentric know no bounds. This is where the drifters wind up, where the addicts squat in abandoned land, or in silos, or even underground in hidden bunkers. This is where things that are oftentimes too bizarre or repulsive to believe can and do take place. Prepare your mind and join me in a journey into those hidden away places I like to call the Devil's Playground. A Man Named Forsythe, Part 2. She looked at me with a combination of fascination and shock, but the edges of her mouth curled up into a partial grin.
"You're an enigma, Forsythe."
I just stared at her without flinching.
"You're serious? What's this all about?"
"I just have a sense."
"Can you talk about it?"
"Not really."
"Then why call me?"
"Because you're all I've got." She just stared at me without flinching. "Okay, I'll tell you. Not the whole thing, just the highlights."
"I'm all ears."
"I witnessed a UFO landing. I took footage of the incident. I met the creatures and they gave me something."
"I can't take that seriously without another drink."
I took her cue and wagged my finger in the air to get the waitress's attention.
"That's rude."
"I know, but I'm stressed." The waitress came. "Another round, and I'm sorry for wagging my finger at you." She laughed.
"You're fine. It happens all the time."
I wanted to earn some points with Rhonda. It was going to be a long night. There was a long silence.
"What did they give you?"
"It's hard to explain."
"Try me."
"Okay, they gave me a box."
"What does the box do?"
"It's a media box."
"What does that mean?"
"It's like an encyclopedia, but it has audio and video in 3D.
"An encyclopedia of what?"
"Of everything they know about the galaxy."
"Wow."
She took a drink and I stared at her reaction. "Yeah, I don't want it."
"But the man at the meeting wants it, right?"
"Right."
"So why not just give it to him?"
"It's not that simple."
"Why not?"
"The Ebens gave it to me."
"The Ebens are the beings?"
"Yes."
"Why are they called the Ebens?"
"Stands for extraterrestrial biological entities."
"Okay. So why can't you give it to the man at the meeting?"
"Wilson."
"Okay. Why not give it to Wilson?"
"Because they mapped it to my mind. It's called the Yellow Book."
"So you're the only one who can use it?"
"Exactly. Wilson needs me to access the Yellow Book."
"I see your predicament."
Wilson's just the front man. But that's not all.
There's more?
They, Wilson and his interests, don't want the whole book. They only want a specific part of it. Or specific parts, I should say. They knew about the Yellow Book before I came along. And they even have a copy of one. But the Yellow Book has an enormous amount of information, and you have to start from the beginning each time you use it. So you cannot search it for specific knowledge. It would take weeks of using it straight through to view the whole thing. And it gives you a splitting headache after just a few hours. It floods your brain with information.
That's heavy, but okay. If no one can search it, and if they already have one, then why do they need you? I'm confused.
Because with me, they did something different. I did something for the captain, and he gave me the Yellow Book as a gift.
What did you do for him?
It's funny.
What do you mean?
It happened on my friend Lewis's property. He has some acreage, and he'd seen their ship zipping around in the sky in the backyard. He invited me to come over and investigate. He thought that my prior background as a police officer and now a private eye would be useful in getting to the bottom of what was going on back there. He brought his dogs, two Doberman Pinschers, Jinxie and Bullet. We set up a light camp in the woods near to where he had seen the ship. It took about 2 hours, and like clockwork, the ship appeared. I adjusted the camera and had unintentionally switched on the lighting, which I did not need for the shot. The beam attracted their attention, and to our surprise, the ship descended for a landing.
You didn't try to run?
No, we were too mesmerized. They weren't making any sudden movements. The descent was slow. The dogs were whimpering. When they got to the ground, everything that happened was as entertaining as a Vegas night show. A doorway appeared. Lights shimmered around the opening in a circular progression. Then they came out of the ship.
And you still weren't scared?
We should have been, I agree. But we thought maybe they did something to keep us calm. We sat there, completely entranced, but feeling like we were under the influence of some kind of sedative. They were walking around, looking at the ground. One of them had a sort of electronic notepad, a little larger than a smartphone. It had appeared to be taking readings of the environment. They were dressed simply in a sort of matte beige unitard. They looked like people, but the heads were larger, and no hair. That's when Bullet freaked out and ran toward the Eben in the front. I instinctively ran after him because I knew that this wouldn't end well. I couldn't get to Bullet before he tackled the Eben, so I pulled him off the poor being. After witnessing how I calmed the dog down and how he minded me, Eben seemed impressed, and he thanked me.
He spoke to you?
Sort of. He communicated with me with some form of mental telepathy.
What else did he say?
He said that I had a good spirit, and that I had sacrificed myself to protect him from the animal. I'm not entirely sure he understood that Bullet was a pet. Then he told me to come inside the ship. I felt no threat, and like I said, the Ebens had put us all under some sort of chemical spell, so I followed him inside. I reached for my cocktail glass and saw that it was empty. I'll be right back. Another margarita?
Make it a double.
Visit us directly online at thedevilsplaygroundshow.com. Subscribe to the Devil's Playground podcast to stay tuned at anchor.fm/thedevilsplayground. And visit our merchandise store at tinyurl.com/thedevilsplaygroundstore.
You've been listening to The Devil's Playground.